you have that opportunity to explore what you're teaching. But by no means do I feel like I have given up the basics in order to move forward. I think it's just all brought together to make it a more meaningful experience for all children. And that is the same both in math and reading. So I embrace it as another way of just getting children to think in a different direction and to explain what they're doing. And they seem excited about it because they have ownership in what they're doing. So I'm not concerned about it. I feel like we're still doing the basics, and the kids are just getting to be stronger at learning and being able to actually have those conversations with other people than just the kids in their class, because they've been allowed to have ownership and in their learning. So
Thank you, Donna. Linda, in mathematics, the question comes up all the time: what about the basics? I was drilled in the basics when I was a student, so why aren't we drilling students today in the basics?
I would say that we still are. At the seventh grade level where I teach, students need to have that automaticity with those basic facts in order for me to be able to push them further in their thinking. In my classroom, I start every day with a bell ringer activity that's just a review of the basic facts. I do Fast Fact Fridays, that is a 2-minute time test on multiplication facts. And I rely on them really having a firm foundation in those basic facts, so that when we do collaborative group activities, it allows me to push their problem solving and their thinking further. If they didn't have that basic knowledge, I wouldn't be able to get them where I'm trying to get them to go with, more critical thinking, more problem solving. Really focusing on those standards for mathematical practice.
So part of what I'm hearing is that in order to get to the higher order thinking skills that the standards promote, you need the basics. Any other panelists want to weigh in on any of that? But yeah, go ahead and then I'll.
You know,
Can I
I think one of the biggest
Jeremy and Colin.
concerns that comes from a lot of people is that the parents don't understand sometimes how to do the work, right? And so we've kind of gone over time doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, and they're kind of used to that way of thinking. And there's been a lot of research done on best practices and how we should be going about teaching kids math. And I think that is the challenge that we even have too, is that we do need to validate the way that the parents learned that material, but also show them that, look, there's different ways of learning or solving a problem to get to that answer. I remember being in school and being one of those mathematical thinkers who was always trying to find a different way to solve the problem that the teacher was giving me, and I would get in trouble for it. And I think that's the problem, is that there are kids that need that opportunity to validate the way that they reason, the way that they think. And there's a lot of brain research out there on those type of things, and that's what we're really trying to apply, is we're trying to make advances forward. But the parents, they're going to have to be on board. They're going to have to ask good questions. They're going to have to be involved and make phone calls to the teachers and say, "Hey, I'm not understanding this. Can you explain it to me?" It's up to the parents to take an active role and an active involvement in understanding it, instead of trying to push it off to the side and say, "I don't like it because I don't understand it." We want to help the kids. We want them to be their best, and that's what we're trying to do. So we're asking too that the parents support us as well and ask good questions too.
Thank you, Jeremy. Luann, you wanted to weigh in?
I would, especially when it comes to practices in math. We have standards for math in Common Core, but we also have eight overarching practices. And these go from every grade level, from kindergarten all the way up through eighth or up through 12th grade. Let me just read them very quickly for you. Yes, Tammy Jo's got, yes, Vanna has got props for us today. Make sense of problems and persevere in solving them.
Beautiful presentation.
Who doesn't want our students to be able to make sense of problems and persevere in solving them? To reason abstractly and quantitatively, to construct viable arguments and critique the reasoning of others. Modeling with mathematics, using appropriate tools strategically. Attend to precision. Look for and make use of structure. Look for and express regularity and repeated reasoning. These are critical thinking skills, and we're wanting kids to develop them at a young age, and so that they can use them to problem solve, to, you know, answer the questions that we have facing in our world today. We want them to go beyond just memorizing facts to really understanding the concepts behind math so that they can apply them and pick out of their toolbox whatever it is that they need to solve the problems of today. That's where Common Core, I believe, really puts our prior standards out of business.
Thank you. Sure.
I'd like to weigh in as well. I think what Luann said, where we're giving them a larger toolbox, we are providing our students with this capacity to go into any field that they would like. Previously, like she said, it was very narrow. We want our kids to be able to do better, to go out there, to go after their dreams, and to go after any single career they may choose. And previously, like Jeremy said, the classrooms didn't honor the fact that kids had different strategies. We're teaching them multiple strategies. Common Core has opened the door, not closed the door, on allowing our students to see more strategies. We allow them to pick which strategy works best for them. What better thing than having a child be in charge of their own learning? If they're invested in their learning, then they're going to go farther in life. They're going to want to do more. That's what Common Core is providing for us. It's providing an avenue for our kids to be excited about learning. Previously, it was, we just had to learn this specific standard because of this. Now they see that I'm right in my science class. They're writing essays, having to explain, why do I see what I'm seeing? If they didn't have the writing skills that I taught in my language arts class, they couldn't write. They couldn't explain their world. They couldn't challenge their world. It's providing them a bigger world and to be able to see their world in a different way. We're providing them college and career ready. It's not just college, it's career ready. A lot of students don't know how to write. They didn't know how to write. They're learning those skills now when they're starting at such a young age. Then they're ready when they get into high school, when they get into middle school. They can answer those questions. They can dig deeper. But we have to start somewhere, and this is where we're starting. We're starting now. And it's very difficult for some parents to understand that, yes, my student knows more strategies than I did, but it's good. It's hard for parents to see that. And it gets emotional with parents when they cannot help their children. But we as teachers, we're always open to the parents coming in or bringing their students and saying, I don't understand this, but we're going to be there to help them. That's our job as teachers.
You can tell that our panelists lack enthusiasm and passion for their work that they do. Yes.
With that being said, when she said getting excited about learning, I just want to share you that on my professional side, I'm a student too. And I go to work every day so excited. And I will tell you that my content, I know my content because I have to understand how kids are coming with all those different strategies. I have to know my math better than I ever did 5-10 years ago, and I am growing. I grow with the kids. I know my content so much stronger because I was there at that time where I only thought that one strategy because that's how I was taught. And I had to actually kind of throw that textbook teacher key away and just go at the problems and do it with the kids, and it's just exciting. And it's not just for the kids, it's for the teacher. So I hope that's contagious.
It certainly is on this panel.
Can I just mm-hmm. add one more? I would just like to add that being a sort of teacher that goes for the more inquiry-based, higher-level problem-solving really is not exclusive to Common Core. I had the opportunity starting about 8 years ago through the Center for the Advancement of Mathematics and Science Education at Black Hills to begin taking inquiry-based math courses that really started me developing this idea. So I was actually implementing some of these ideas into my more traditional math classroom before I had even heard of Common Core and saw the power that it had to lead my students' thinking to a deeper level and kind of open them up to more risk-taking and problem-solving in the classroom. So while it's Common Core now, it's kind of been out there for teachers for longer than the last 3 years.
All right, we should never get started because we just piggyback off each other. Being an elementary teacher, and I do have a background in early education, early childhood. If you remember, if you have children or grandchildren, how children learn from the very beginning of time, it's through exploration, it's through inquiry. And that's what's exciting about what we're doing. That's to me just a progression of how children begin their lives of learning, and that we're just taking it into the school system now. And sometimes we forget because I have to be honest, when I was a parent, I was busy being a parent. When I became a grandmother, I saw the miracle of how children learn and how they develop. And I have the ability now to watch that as an exercise, not just prior to coming to school, but as they go throughout school. And that's what I want to see. I want them not necessarily to be always career ready or all university, college ready, but how about just life ready? And that's what I see in the children that I teach. We're giving them the skills that they need just to go out there and have a really good conversation and be able to declare what they believe and support it with evidence that they have learned. So I see it from the very beginning of time, just progressing through life.
Thank you. Other comments before we move on? I need to tell an anecdote because it's really relevant to this, and it does show how much, how long the desire for these kinds of skills has been around. The scene was the late 90s. I was working in Massachusetts, some would say the People's Republic of Massachusetts, that's another matter. And it was during the time of what we called the dot-com boom, and there, Massachusetts has been known as the high technology state for a long time, and we were interested in whether we were producing enough graduates in our information technology fields, and we were also interested in whether they had the right kinds of technical skill set that was valued by the employers. So I convened a focus group of IT employers ranging from small companies to some of the real IT giants in the state, and places like Fidelity Investments that really used sophisticated IT platforms. So I asked them, are we producing the right skills? Are we teaching the right computer languages? Do the students have the technical skills to adapt to your environments? And in what ways can we improve? And they said to me that I was not asking the right question. They said, here's what we really need. We need people who can apply knowledge broadly to a wide variety of settings to solve complex problems with the information that they've received. We need people who can work in teams. We need people who can think critically with the kinds of information that they're trained. Do any of these things resonate for the core purposes of Common Core? So many, many years later, we now see development. This is what the employers, particularly in those sectors that really rely on sophisticated human capital, have been saying to us for a long time. We need people who can work with knowledge, not just people who have knowledge. And I think that cuts to the core of the question of the basics versus higher order thinking. And I thought that story would be of interest to you because you're now working on the ground to make these things happen. So our third question, what do the Common Core state standards really mean for your students? Can you address why these content standards help your students to be college and or career and citizen ready? So I'm going to ask Shanna to kick that one off.
A few years ago, I teach at Riggs High School, and a few years ago, a group of us realized that we really had a need for remedial reading. So it's not just at the entrance of college, it's just the entrance of high school. We see that there are some students who can't read effectively. And so we searched for a curriculum, and we found a curriculum that would address those needs. And the curriculum is aligned to Common Core, which, and it's kind of a sidebar, but this is a thought I had when we were sitting in the house. I think the number of states who are adopting Common Core, the textbook companies are going to give the states what they want. So the number of states that are adopting Common Core is going to correlate with the number of textbook companies that are going to correlate with Common Core. So it's going to be hard-pressed. You're going to be hard-pressed to find text that is not aligned to the Common Core. I mean, that's just kind of going to be the reality going forward, in my opinion. Anyway, sorry for the sidebar, but so we found a curriculum that addresses the need for secondary students to it addresses their specific reading deficiencies. The curriculum that we used incorporates 77% of informational text. And because of that, the vocabulary passages, the passages themselves relate back to science and they relate to social studies. So we're no longer teaching those in isolation as far as that class goes. So developing that literacy across content areas using the informational text, which they're going to use when they go into the world. Whenever we talk about reading as adults, think about the reading that you do as an adult. Is it Shakespeare? Is it, not that those things aren't important, because I'm an English teacher and I like my Shakespeare, but we have to make sure that they're able to transfer the skills that we're giving them to life, to college, to career, to just life skills. So this has kind of been the first year that I've heard students, so we're teaching this informational text, and I've heard students say, hey, we're talking about that in social studies class. And then they get onto this discussion about what they just learned in social studies class or what they just learned in science class. So learning isn't as compartmentalized for them. They're able to kind of see the big picture and how it all meshes together. And they're also able to use the higher order thinking skills to apply what they're learning to real world scenarios and to find deeper meaning into what we're teaching them. It's not just on the surface stuff anymore. We're really, like everybody's saying, we're really digging deeper. So,
good. Thank you, Shannon. Robin?
I think this question, when we talked about having it today, I asked my sixth graders it yesterday. And sometimes you have to be very careful asking a sixth grader a question because you never know. And I said to them, why am I teaching you what I'm teaching you? And one student turned to another and said, so we can do this. And I said, what is this? What are you talking about? So we know how to argue with each other. And I said, what do you mean by argue? And my student, she said, so that we know how to explain what we're seeing, so that we can explain what's going on around us. And I said, that's exactly right. That's why I ask you to dig deeper and to know more. For my students, Common Core is teaching them to explain what's going on around them. They can explain what's happening in their world. They can explain what they're seeing in math class while we're doing a science lesson. They can use the different processes that they've learned and apply them in different areas. And Common Core has a lot of processes. We're working on that. And our students start to learn and translate it into other subjects and other areas, and it gives them an advantage. We kind of give them extra tools that way. When we're looking at Common Core, we're not just teaching one strategy, and teachers are using different methodologies for every single student. It's going back to what Donna said and what Luann said. We are teaching our kids different tools to have in their toolbox, because you never know when you're going to be somewhere and you're going to need something. So they have multiple tools, and it allows them to build a better future. If we want, and we're looking at having a workforce that is reducing, and we need to create a larger workforce, which I know is a big topic right now, we need to ensure that we're teaching our students a variety of tools so that they can be prepared for the workforce and whatever job they may enter. That's the whole point of Common Core. We're teaching them not just college ready to memorize facts, but career ready and life skill ready. We want them to be able to communicate in their world. We want them to be able to communicate with others in different professions. It's kind of our goal. They need to be able to explain their world. That's what it means for my students, just like my sixth grader said, so that we can do this, that we can communicate with each other and communicate to you. That is our goal. Allowing them to have a voice and be in charge of their learning. If they're in charge, invested in their learning, then they're going to work harder. If you believe in what you're doing, you're going to go after it. If you think it's something that somebody's making you do, and trust me, sixth graders, when they think you're making them do something, they're not going to do so well. But when they know it's something that's going to benefit them, They're going to work as hard as they can. And our kids are starting to become vested in their own learning because they see the toolbox they're building.
Thank you. Luann?
I would just add that I think it's really important that we inspire our students, and I think that's what we do with a lot of these activities that involve Common Core and different shifts in educational strategies, to love to learn, because they're going to have to do it the rest of their lives. And I tell my students, it's not just about chemistry that we're learning about today, it's not just about pre-calculus, it's not just about physics, it's about learning how to learn, because you're going to do that the rest of your life, because I am, and I'm enjoying it. And I think that's really important, that we share this passion, this fun for learning, this thirst for knowledge, and Common Core lets us do that. It's not dry, it's not stale, it's not scripted, say this, do this, ask them this question. It's engaging, it's fun, it's hands-on. And I think they're gonna learn to love to learn, they're gonna learn forever.
Thank you, Luann. Other panelists want to weigh in on that question? Okay, then let me move to some quick closing comments from each panelist, and let me start with Linda.
Do you have some questions?
Yeah, and then I'll open it up to the floor after.
We were talking earlier today, and I hear a lot of the people that have Common Core concerns. They express the concern that it's so different than what they learned. But if you think about it, my seventh graders are walking around with the world in their pocket. They have instant access to knowledge from everywhere because about 70% of them have a smartphone. So my teaching, in order to engage them, needs to be different. They also need to be taught to be critical thinkers in order to be able to process all of that information that is instantly available to them. So yes, the future generations that are following are, you know, generations that belong to the world and not to South Dakota. So I think we need to think, help them digest all of that knowledge that's at their fingertips.
Thank you. Donna?
Maybe we should just say ditto. I think that I listen to a lot of people today, and I don't know that I disagree with everything they say. I think that when change happens, it's difficult. I think that sometimes for those of us that have been in education for a long time, it's sometimes harder. I cling to the basics. I do believe you need to have your facts memorized. I do think those things make life a lot easier. While that being said, there's an energy that I feel more after 30 years basically in the education field than I ever did when I first started teaching, because I can explore so much with the students and watch them grow. It is my job to honor what the parents are thinking. It is my job to make sure they have open communication with me as their child's teacher. As I've often said to them, I have their child more than they do in the waking hours, and I am teaching the most prized possession that they have. And so with that open dialogue, I have very few concerns from the parents of my classroom, but we do need to acknowledge that. And if the question does come about, then it's my job to try to explain to them that their child will indeed learn. And I'm taking a lot of time, but years ago, I looked at my classroom in about January and I said, I'm not doing my job. I'm losing you. And I said, it is time for you to tell me what you want to learn. And so we had this whole big brainstorming happening. And all but one little girl, she wanted to, I think she wanted to learn about surgery. But for the most part, they were excited about learning about athletes. So I literally changed my entire curriculum to have the children learn about athletes. Talk about a fun way to learn. Everything I did, English, reading, I had people from the community come in. I had my father that I learned more about when she came to look to talk to my children than I ever knew, because they asked the questions. I had parents that said, you are going to see my child next year, because this way of teaching can't possibly get them to where they need to be. And after we were done at the end of the year, I had those parents come in and said, you know, I really thought you were going to fail, and I was really going to have to beat you up on this one because I really wanted my child to go to fourth grade. She said that you embraced what they wanted to learn in a way that they could learn, and it wasn't necessarily the way I wanted them to learn. And I've always remembered that. While I don't do my athlete unit anymore, it is giving that ownership again, I'll keep saying it, to the children that we teach, and at the same time being able to answer the difficult questions that we need to do.
Thank you. Luann?
Why do we get so passionate about what we do? It's because of those kids, isn't it? I mean, that's the center. Common Core comes back to the center. It's all about the kids. And I would acknowledge, I don't believe that Common Core state standards are perfect. But then I don't think the ones we had before were perfect either, nor do I think there's a set out there that are. I think it is a very good step in the right direction, and I believe that it is really an issue about implementation. And I think we see that across the board in terms of who got training first, who was on board first, how well they've embraced those, how much support they've had. And those of us who have said yes to the trainings, yes to the support the state has provided, yes to the collaboration that we have with our partners back in our classrooms, and the major stakeholders, I think it's really already reaped great benefits. It's inspired us to be better teachers. It's found us to helped us find new methods to teach kids, to reach out to every one of them. But it's about kids. It really is about our kids being the best learners that they can be, so that, yes, whether they grow up on an Indian reservation in Cheyenne River, or whether they are sitting in Pier, or whether they're in Rapid City, that they all have the right chance, the same chance, an equal opportunity for the best education to be the person that they're intended to be.
Thank you. Shanna?
I think I heard a lot today, the notion that it's change, and it's hard. But I think that, you know, when I was in school and my dad looked at what I was doing for math and said, oh, you're doing that new math, or the new math. And so I think this is just this generation's new math. Everything's just, education just evolves. And for this generation of kids, though, this is the first, they're kind of pioneers. None of us had the cell phones in our pocket. We didn't have the world at our fingertips. And so we have to change the way we think about educating these kids and teach them how to use all the tools that they have available to them. Otherwise, we can't, now I can't think of the quote. I'm so bad with remembering quotes. I see really good ones. I think I need to remember that. But it's something along the lines of we need to be preparing our kids for their future, not our past. And so I think that I think the Common Core is definitely a step in that direction. And it's really not as scary as it's made out to sound from some people. It's really not a humongous shift from the standards that we've had before, in my opinion. We just need to kind of give it a chance, I think.
You know, I think the thing that really makes me proud, actually, to be part of education in South Dakota is that when it came to the Common Core state standards, it didn't matter whether you talked to the teachers, South Dakota Education Association, or principals, SASD, Associated School Boards. It doesn't matter who you talk to. Those people who are involved in education all support this mission. They all support it. And yet, I'm taking time out of my busy schedule to come here and try to convince people that Common Core is a good thing. And I think that's a little bit unfortunate, because I know that there's probably not many people who are walking into their doctor's offices explaining to the doctor how their surgery should be performed, or telling a home builder how to build their house and make sure that it's up to code. And I think that it's time that people in South Dakota, parents, educators, legislators, start treating the professionals up here and throughout our state like professionals. I think that's the huge thing. We care about kids. It's why we became teachers, educators, administrators. We work long hours, hard days, no matter what anybody says about our summers off. Just ask the Department of Ed, we're doing PD all summer. So we are constantly learning, we are constantly growing, we are constantly investing our lives in our children. And I just hope that there can be some rhetoric or some talk about what the good things that we're doing too down the road. So thanks.
Thank you, Robin.
I think for me, what we've said is the kids. That's what's important. Our kids. I live in a community where some parents truly and honestly don't care about their own children, or they have a lot of other problems. Who's the only one that cares about them? Their teacher. If we're the ones that are there constantly, we're the ones that care about those kids, that's where they see a lot of role modeling of how they can attain life skills. We care about our kids. I didn't go into teaching because I thought I'd make a specific amount of money. I went into teaching because I believe that every kid in my classroom can be successful. I know that these standards provide a baseline for each one of my kids to meet a specific goal. How I get to that goal is going to be by my district's choice and by the curriculum I choose and a lot of the choice that I make. I know what each one of my students need. I can tell when certain students walk through the door that maybe they do need to go rest a little bit because they didn't sleep at all at night. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to hold them to high standards when they get up and they're ready to go. We as teachers, we do need to be respected. We understand and we see what's going on with our children. Common Core is good for them. It's not some evil thing that people are putting out there. It's great for our kids. It's helping them. It's going to help them grow. It's going to help them be better in their world. Don't we want to encourage that?
Tammy Jo, you get the last word.
Okay. I'm a product of South Dakota. I went to country school second grade through eighth, and I look at Common Core and I look back to those days. A lot of people refer back to that and they're like, you know, like we used to. And I would offer this idea that the things that are being put forth with Common Core, it is common sense. I think it actually is a marriage between what we did once and what we're doing now with the future and that mobile society piece. It's bringing the old-fashioned and the modern together, but it's how you look at it. And I would just leave you with this. I love the eight mathematical standards. You saw me bring the poster. It's like common sense. It's just not in the math classroom. So if you want to talk about those, I'd love to. So with that.
Well, thank you, Tammy. You are truly the poster child for these standards.
That's right.
Just to reframe the question for public broadcasting, because I'm on the mic here, is a request for a commentary on grading systems that reflect mastery learning. Would that be a proper summary of the question?
Spectacular.
Thank you. That's a toss-up question, so any member of the panel? Jeremy, you want to start?
No, actually, Tammy Jo and I were talking about this on the way here. I think you really got to start with, and a lot of school districts are struggling with this right now, is what does a grade mean? Okay, and so think about that for a second. What does a grade mean? If you think about a grade from teacher to teacher, classroom to classroom, an A can mean one thing in one class and something else in another, depending upon that standard. And really what we're trying to define in the web leveling is a continuum of how much information do you need to apply to keep going with that information. You got to start with a foundational knowledge of it, and then you have to be able to apply it, and then you have to be able to critically think about how could I use this information to make a determination about something that maybe doesn't even exist. Because at one point we probably thought, you know, Pluto was a planet, right? And then we changed our mind about it. Somebody had to critically think about the fact that maybe it doesn't belong in our solar system, right? But somebody had to actually step forward and challenge that idea. And so Tammy, Joe, and I were talking about, you know, it goes from, instead of keeping score, you're really focusing on the coaching. What's going on with the athlete, right, on the basketball court? We're not keeping track of how many points they score. What we're really trying to figure out is, how did they score the point? How did they go for, you know, what technique did they use? What do I need to provide them in coaching to get them to that next step? So we don't really care how many points they're scoring. We really focused on what it is specifically that they're doing with the skill and applying it. That's the big piece.
Tammy Jo?
And I would weigh in and say, I think that goes back to us talking to our parents and being in close communication with them, helping them understand that when we haven't adopted the mastery grade or standards-based grading, but we're looking at it because it truly tells you what the kids know and don't know. But then helping our parents, well, this is like, you know, an A, or this, I mean, we have to have that conversation in our districts. For instance, we're giving our NWEA assessment map math tests, they have a 3-digit code. And here I am with the kids and their parents, and like, okay, this is about an 8th grade level. You just have those conversations that's just the code, that's what it means. So I think it's communication and that openness between teachers and their, you know, it's that customer service piece with the students and their families. Because I think it can make sense to everybody, but you have to talk about it.
And I'm probably the one that likes the ABCD best. Melody's winking at me, and I probably, it's easy to understand, and I can explain everything I do to my parents. I kind of blow them out of the water most of the time because I can tell them exactly where their children are high and low at, and so probably I'm doing the standards without really knowing them. But for parents, again, we have to acknowledge the fact that's where they're at. That's what they're used to. Mm-hmm. My daughter is in Oregon, and they actually had standard-based report cards, and she hated them, I'll be honest with you, because she didn't understand them. They weren't written for her to really understand where her child was, other than the fact that she had very bright children, so that was helpful. I learned some things from that, and I have been dragging my feet. I'm just a very honest person about all these things. But I think when we write them, and it's the teacher standpoint too, in third grade, I don't know how many different Common Core standards I have. So how do I narrow those down to make sure that I'm getting all of it, so I'm not missing out a part of that child's learning? And also, it's so easy in education to have education ease. And I think that when we develop them in our school districts, that we have to make sure that we write them for everyone to understand, not just with our jargon. And that will be important. I think that that's probably where we're headed. Again, I embrace it, in that I will learn how to do it. Is it safe to stay with the ABC? You bet it is, because that's where our parents have their comfort level with. But it doesn't mean that as they grow with their children, that at some point when they try to change it 10, 20 years from now, that, oh, well, this made more sense than what they're doing now. So it's a matter of, again, making sure that we have those dialogues, making sure that we acknowledge that we understand their fears and understanding where they're at and go from there. So it's going to take some time, and I'll be very honest, it's not just with parents, it will be with teachers. And I think we need to make sure that we do a really good education with everyone involved.
The others, Linda?
I am a 7th grade math teacher, so when students come to me, I get two questions about assignments that I give. When is it due? How much is it worth? And I starting a few years ago, really try all year long to refocus them on what I think the intent of the learning is. Not when is it due and how much is it worth, but what do I need to learn from this? And if I can't answer the question, what do I need to learn from this, then I haven't given them assignment that was purposeful. So, you know, I think that ABCD conversation really needs to shift from does my student know what they need to know, not do they have an A?
Luann, I see you're chomping at the bit here.
I would just add, and I agree with everybody, but I would also add that it took a while for us to get to this idea about rubrics, too. When we were doing assessments in our classroom on a project, especially, I've got a problem-solving rubric that I use when we're dealing with problem-solving. It just takes a while. It takes time. It takes time for us to get used to it as teachers. It takes time for our students to get used to it. It takes time for our adults, other than us, our parents, to understand it. But it does happen. Now our kids are asking, where's the rubric? When they get an assignment, where's the rubric? Because they want to know what the expectations are. And so it's going to be key that we explain and communicate well what this new kind of mastery level means. It might take that transition time with a lot of, you know, discussions and question and answer, and maybe for a while, maybe we use a pseudo thing, you know, an A and this and a B and that, so that you get used to this idea. But we have to make it user-friendly, right? You need a format on your computer that's user-friendly. It's kind of the same way here, too, I think.
And before we leave the topic, just one other comment. At one time in my career, I was a college admissions officer. And when you start changing the way that grades are displayed and in the mastery format, we need to be engaged in that discussion so that we'll know how to interpret the high school transcripts of the future. And that is not to say that we need to cling to old grade point averages and other things that we're used to. It's just that as it changes, we need to be part.
I would just add that there's that already, I see that shift happening at the systems level. Entrance into college and universities will give you three choices. You have to have this GPA, this SAT score, this ACT score, or so they're giving you already options. So it's not so much based on just a GPA anymore. So I see that system changing to hopefully accommodate this kind of thing.
And I would also like to say, for those parents that are upset, some of them, it can be that it's sometimes frustrating to learn that your child cannot do specific things when before they could get straight A's. But when I hear that my student can't do this or can't do that, it's upsetting as a parent, because then you start blaming yourself. And then you feel like you have to put the blame somewhere else. And that's probably where a lot of the problems are coming from. I have two children. My son is 5 and my daughter is 2. My daughter has struggled since the day she was born because she had a severe heart condition, a congenital heart defect. For her, learning how to speak, all the basic things have been a struggle. My son, he could speak when he was 1 year old. He was going along. As a parent, it's hard to see those report cards. But I understand that because I'm also a teacher, and I know that that means that's the area that I need to help my child most in. The standards-based report cards are helping us see what our child really does need help in, and it showcases what they're really good at. And A, B, or C tells us nothing. It tells us that maybe they're a really good test taker, maybe they're good at cheating, maybe they're just good. But it doesn't tell us what they're good and bad at. So that's kind of why we really need to focus on it.
Okay. I saw other hands up. Senator?
Starting when we first introduced them into the state, before they were ever required, Department of Ed had a series of informational sessions where we got to sit down and actually look at every standard of mathematical practice, and all of those standards too. And we disaggregated them. So we took them apart and got into groups, because we met at regional locations across the state. And we looked at every standard. We pulled it apart, thinking about what it really meant. In our own words, what did it mean? And then we had to think of a way in which that there would be a real-life world problem that would be used using that standard. So we dug in deep to each and every standard. We posted websites or web resources on a website for other teachers to look at. And then that's where we just kept going. And so regionally throughout the 4 or 5 years, there have been trainings 4 or 5 times a year at 4 or 5 different locations. Teachers to come and learn different pieces about Common Core. And so each year there was another wave of teachers invited. If you hadn't started before, you weren't excluded. You could still come, you could add on. I think most of the professional development in the last 3 years has really been around Common Core, and there have been many and varied opportunities, not only through the school year, but the summer as well.
Proceed.
Yeah, we have, you know, our testing that we do now in the springtime of the year has generally been our version of the Dakota Step. And it has been pushing over to Common Core standards a little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time. What we're going to see next is a performance base. So it's not just going to be a multiple choice task, but it's what can my students do? Not what knowledge can they spew off the top of their head, but what can they do? And so that, I think, has been it. It's what I've watched my students be able to do. They can explain their thinking, explain their in writing what they're doing, explain to others what their thinking is about. So I see it in our performance tasks. I think that's one of the greatest powers about Common Core, is that it's not just asking kids to score well on a multiple choice, fill in the blank kind of a test, but it's actually getting to what they do, that practice, that deep understanding, and that skill.
And I think I'd like to add, and she said with the performance task, we're constantly doing assessments. It's not just at the end of the year to find out, do my students know that what I'm teaching? And we're constantly coming back and reteaching and going over it over and over again to ensure that, yes, they are understanding those Common Core, you know, standards, and yeah, they do know that, and we are constantly looking back at assessment, and it's happening on a daily basis. It's not just at the end of the year, and I think that's kind of been confusion, that that's the only thing we use. We use a lot of assessments, and it's constant in our classrooms. That's what guide a lot of our instruction and determine where are we headed next.
Okay. Did you have one more follow-up?
Yeah.
I would bluntly ask you what you want me to do in my classroom. I really don't. I mean, if you take away, and I haven't had the training that Luann's talking about. My school district did it a little different, where we took the Common Core, and then we did what we call a framework, and we, you know, basically did what they did, but we did it at our local district. But I really do want to know what the expectation would be. How do you want me to move forward? Because I will be very confused as to what direction you want me to take. Our goal is to make sure these children understand and can live as a well-rounded citizen. And that's what, you know, life should be about, is being a good citizen and knowing their civics duty. And that we don't talk a lot about, but if you do defeat this and say no more, then please have something ready for us so we know what direction to go next.
Okay, sure. Tammy Jo?
I would just say if we don't have the funding to continue going where we are headed, my students will be disappointed. They love when I come back and I've learned things and I'm trying new things and sharing things. And they are pretty excited about this business. And it's that going back to valuing how they think, and they see me trying to do that as a teacher. So I think my kids would be really disappointed if we don't have that support in the future. And I think our community, because we have been sharing about the things we're doing. So there'd be a lot of disappointment.
Jeremy?
You know, I'd be very concerned too, you know, from the teacher standpoint. For some districts for the last 3 years, the amount of time, energy, and devotion that they have put into getting this Common Core standards thing going, it's been tremendous. I have teachers, you know, I'm in my office sometimes late and they're even later. Just trying to each day, you know, provide a quality instruction for the kids. You know, and I think that if we don't have something to move forward with, I think that they're going to have a really hard time buying into anything else that's going to come down the pipe. I think the conversation should be, why weren't we having this conversation 3 years ago? We're this far down the road already, and now you want to take the rug out from underneath of our feet. And it would be a blow to the kids. It would be a blow to the teachers. And I think as an administrator, it would be really tough to try to sell anything else to the teachers about anything moving forward. I think they would have a really difficult time thinking, well, we did that Common Core thing for 3 years and that got swept out from underneath of us. So now you want us to do this. And I mean, at some point, we have to give this a shot. We have to give it a shot to see if it'll work. There's no magic bullet that's going to, you know, have every single kid getting straight A's, but we're willing to do the work to try to get there. And Common Core is the avenue for us to do that at this time. It's the best thing we got.
Chair.
Could I just add?
Sly? Oh, just go ahead.
I would just add to your question. For many teachers that I am in the position to do right now, don't you trust us? You know, what's the latest numbers? I think it's like 78% or 79% of the teachers in South Dakota are in support of Common Core. Who knows better our kids? Who knows better what's best for our kids? And I care about kids just like their parents care about them. We understand that, but I guess I'd be disappointed that you didn't trust us. You trust us with our kids every day. Don't you trust us with these decisions that are important? And we're not making them from the hip. We've studied the Common Core. We're not saying, you know, that they're perfect, but we're saying that they are very, very good. And then I go to my superintendent and I'd say, I'm doing them anyway, and he'd say, go for it.
Can I just add one thing? We were talking earlier today, and I really do think of the standards as a floor and not a ceiling. So if you put a different floor under me, I'm still going to push my kids to the ceiling.
Well, we're getting short on time, but thank you. Okay, go ahead, Tammy Jo.
I would offer that I think we haven't had time. I'm still making sense of Common Core, and I'm helping my families and my community do that. I write for the Hermosa newsletter. And we haven't had time to really be able to speak to it. I'm kind of in that learning phase yet. And sometimes I think you're putting us in a position where we don't maybe have the words to describe what we're seeing. And plus, I'm talking to families, and you haven't heard from them. But I think we're still in that quiet think time. We're thinking about what we're doing. We're making sense of it. Where the opposition has just rushed in and this is the way it is, and has maybe even taken the time to consider it or really look at it, where the rest of us are like, okay. And we were kind of, I was taken aback a little bit because it's so good. And playing around with it, this was unexpected to me. Because when I saw it in 2010, and it matched what I saw in my own kind of action research and what I'm doing in my classroom, I didn't see that it would be a poor choice. So I was surprised by the opposition. So I think we haven't had time, the people in favor, to get our words together maybe and come with just a rash argument. We're really trying to think about, you know, what are we embracing? And today has given me a lot more verbiage to share with my own families. And Mr. Hurd wanted us to do like a Common Core thing last year. But as a staff, we're like, we want to make sense of it. And then we want to do a good job presenting it in the correct way to our communities. And we haven't had time for that yet. And so now all this is coming before we were able to educate our families. And people are scared and they're not educated yet. So that's what I would say, is we haven't had time to get everybody on board. We just needed more time, and this came before that piece happened.
This is what we're getting. Common Core is a disaster that will destroy South Dakota's education system. Please do everything you can to get this totally removed from our state. I must have got this kind. We're
I would really challenge you to say to them, how long ago was it that you visited a Common Core classroom? And I know that is so hard, but I am sure all of us up here as teachers would gladly welcome them in to come and sit in our classroom. I do. I don't mind if someone comes and watches, because I think that's where the problem is existing. We have a lot of people that have never seen what a Common Core classroom looks like, and they're just running off on a mad dash and they're not educated. Come see my classroom. I openly welcome people to come check out my classroom, because if you think it's the worst thing in the world, come see it and tell me after you leave if it's the worst thing in the world.
Well, I'm feeling some responsibility for keeping to my timetable, so.
It's okay. I'll just let you know from my district. I utilize our newsletter. I've been communicating with parents about what Common Core is. It's on our website. There's a huge picture there that links to a website that the Department of Education actually provided as an opportunity for parents to learn about the standards, to ask questions. You know, and I'm not quite sure where, you know, like, I guess parents have feel like they can't come and talk to us, you know, where we're just closed off from them, because we certainly haven't communicated that. We've openly in my district said, please come talk to us. You know, we've had several Board of Education meetings with these topics on there, and participation or discussion in my district has been so quiet, and I think that it might be part of the reason is that we've done a pretty good job of educating. So I don't know what other administrators or other schools have been doing, but, you know, obviously that's a concern. But, yes, I think everybody agrees that we would be welcome, people would be welcome to come and see what's going on, and they can come and talk to us. We are very busy people. You know, the hours of day, maybe that's why you're not hearing so much, but there's probably a good portion of people out there who don't have much better to do than blog or send you an email, so I just take that into consideration too.
And just to add to that very quickly, I won't be long, Donna DeCray, Tammy Dill Schlechter, Sonia Fossum, myself, and Mindy from Rosholt, we wrote an editorial in November, and it went to all of the newspapers. So we've been trying to put our position out there. So it's in the Rapid City Journal, the Argus Leader, the Aberdeen American News. I understand it was picked up by the Yankton paper. My Little Timberlake topic picked it up. It's out there, and I think it's on the DOE website if you can access it that way too. So we have tried to speak for the Common Core in a broad media.
Let me say this too, that today was an unusual process in that a resolution went right to the House floor. This is a very deliberative body, and as bills are filed, we would be soliciting testimony on those bills. The education committees are very deliberative and open-minded bodies, so that's where much more informed testimony gets a chance to be played out, and we would certainly hope that we could call upon these panelists to come and present a more detailed side of the story as those forums get more sophisticated and delve into greater depth on the proponent and opponent side of a given bill. But let me say this in closing. First, I want to thank all of you diehards out there for staying with us, for coming. It was a late session, got started much later than we thought. So thank you for persevering. We may not have had a large audience, but we had some of the prominent education-oriented legislators in the room, and we're very grateful for that. But more importantly, I want to thank this panel. It's very significant, I think, that we're in a room with such prominent pillars, because I'm surrounded by the education pillars of our state right here. And I am certainly proud to say that my newfound colleagues are, in fact, education colleagues of mine. So please join me in thanking our panel.